Chapter 2. A shared trouble is half joy. Italian proverb. It was still drizzling when I arrived at the headquarters of the Saturday Evening Girls on Hull Street in the North End. I realized I must look like a fright, but I didn't care. I had spent the afternoon wandering the streets of Boston, not wanting to go home to face my family, but not having anywhere to go until the SEG meeting started. I entered Hull House through the basement, which was now the storefront of the newly opened pottery shop, the business that supported the club's activities. I walked through the shop and up the basement stairs, then climbed one flight past the first-floor pottery workroom and one of the meeting rooms, up to the second-floor assembly room. It was a large, welcoming space with an enormous marble fireplace. The fire was blazing and the room was warm, the smell of wood smoke mingling with the dry, toasty scent of the pottery kilns 2 floors below. I saw Ada, Thea, and Maria sitting on our usual seats in the far back of the room. Ada had a book on her lap, as always, her petite hands flying as she told Thea and Maria a story. Maria's enormous blue eyes widened, and she burst out giggling at whatever Ada was saying. Thea was facing away from me, so all I could see was her haphazard chignon of honey-brown hair. But her laughter was so loud it echoed against the assembly room walls. I walked over to where they were sitting, nodding and saying hi to some of the other club members as I passed by them. "Hello, ladies," I said as I came up behind Thea's chair.
"Jesus, Mary and Joseph, Caprice, what happened to you?"
Maria asked, jumping up to pull over a seat for me.
"Sit down. You look awful."
"Oh, Caprice, you're soaked to the bone," said Thea, taking my coat and hat from me as I removed them.
"Are you okay?" Ada said, grabbing my hand.
"I'm so glad to finally see you all," I said, sinking into the chair Maria had brought over.
"It's been a horrible day."
I told them what had transpired at Madame Dupont's that morning. They sat around me in a circle, and despite my troubles, the familiar happiness I felt when the four of us were together washed over me. How many times and in how many places had we sat like this, trying to find the answers to the problems in our lives? Too many to count. Gazing at them today, I still saw remnants of the girls we once were when we had met 7 years ago. Tiny 5-foot-tall Ada, with her shiny black braids and dimpled cheeks, studied me intently with her dark eyes. Maria pulled at one of her platinum blonde curls, her alabaster skin growing pink with anger, as I got to the part about Madame closing the shop. Chubby, freckle-faced Thea smiled, and her green eyes filled with pride for me when I told them that Madame called me one of the most talented trimmers she had ever known.
"That witch!"
Maria exclaimed as I finished my story.
"I can't believe she would just turn you all out onto the street."
She said it loud enough that a few girls in the assembly room turned to look at us.
"Maria," Ada said, her voice low, "I'm sure Caprice doesn't need the whole club to know what happened just yet."
"No, please, not yet," I said, holding up my hand. "My family doesn't even know yet." "Oh, yes. If that weren't bad enough, my mother told me my father is bringing another potential husband over for dessert tomorrow night. Enrico Zumo, the shoemaker's son." The three of them groaned when they heard this. They were well aware of my father's matchmaking attempts. "So," I added, throwing my hands up in disgust and slouching in a very unladylike manner in my chair, "my dream of opening my own hat shop, the dream you have all listened to me talk about for the past year, seems very out of reach at the moment. I was planning to ask my parents tomorrow about paying board, but of course that won't happen now. I don't know what in God's name I'm going to do next. I may get some advice from Miss Gurrier or Mrs. Storrow if she's here tonight."
"Yes, she's coming," said Ada with a nod. "Fancy Goldstein just told me that she was."
Mrs. Gurrier was the head librarian at the North End Library and the founder of the SEG. Mrs. Storrow was a...